Welcome to Unlawyerly, where we talk about life, the pursuit of happiness, and some law. This is Ramin. It's time to get unlawyerly.
Our next conversation on critical conversations with your kids is about alcohol. And I'll introduce this with a show that I grew up with, and for one reason or another, and it was not through my doing, my kids have been watching it as well, which is surprising, but the show itself, I think, is timeless, regardless of where you guys are on the spectrum of the show. But it's The Simpsons. And in The Simpsons, you have Homer and his family, for those of you who are not aware, and Homer is the father, dad, who gets into a lot of situations, and he's not the brightest, or at least the way he projects himself. But Homer loves to drink Duff beer. Okay, he just loves it. And throughout the show and the seasons, you'll have Duff beer come up. And of course, he foams at the mouth when he's drinking beer. His friends Barney, Carl, and Larry, they're at Moe's Tavern drinking Duff beer. And I think one of the things that's really timeless about the show is that it does get into a lot of things that happens in our day-to-day life, and it does talk about a lot of things from political, scientific, etc. So my kids are watching the show, and they're joking about Duff beer or Duff man, and also about the way that it's marketed out. Drinking beer is fun. Drinking alcohol gives you a good time. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, let's just say, it's what we see in the way that it's marketed and has been marketed for some time. So why am I bringing Simpsons, Duff beer, Duff men, and all these things? Look, at the end of the day, our kids are going to be exposed to a lot of these things. And even those of us who are coming from a faith-based background where we want to shelter our kids or protect them from it, they're going to be exposed to it. And personally, I don't believe in over-sheltering. I think that it's naive to do that because at a certain point in time, we are not going to be there with our kids every moment of the time, moment of the day. And that's just a normal trajectory in life. I know some parents are like, well, no, I'm going to protect them and they're always going to be with me. They're not. They're not. And I think if you're going to think that, it's going to lead you to failure. Again, my point of view. But our kids are going to be exposed to these things, including alcohol. It's everywhere, especially for those of you who live in the West. And even those who live in the East, there is going to be exposure to alcohol and alcohol-related byproducts. So it just goes to show that even in a show like The Simpsons, a cartoon, you do have things related to alcohol. But the way I look at it, and I mentioned this in the first intro, there are various moments where you are able to connect with your kids, to talk to them about things. I came to realize that my kids enjoy The Simpsons just as much as I did when I was growing up. So I take those moments to watch a show with them. And to this day, I still enjoy watching. I haven't seen a lot of the new episodes. My kids have finished all of them. But I take those moments and opportunities just to be able to connect. Not necessarily be like, hey, let's talk about alcohol. But hey, The Simpsons is funny, or there's a lot of inside jokes that we have. But I also take those opportunities where Duff beer or Duff man or those things are mentioned to be able to talk to them. In my own culture, you know, growing up, alcohol, and I speak Farsi, or Farsi was initially my first language, and now I feel like English is my first language, and what we speak at home, that's a different conversation. But alcohol was not mentioned by alcohol. Okay, in Farsi, it's sharab, but it wasn't called that. It was called dawa, which translates to medicine, because there's a sense of shame associated with it. And you know, if there were family members that perhaps engaged, and look, in even the Afghan culture and in Muslim cultures, there are people that will engage in drinking alcohol and the like, but it was referred to as medicine. They're drinking medicine. And in a lot of respects, alcohol is used as a coping mechanism. It is used as therapy. It is used as medicine. But it was never called by what it was. And I think it was more of the shame that was associated with it. And so I grew up with that. And I don't want my kids to grow up with, hey, let's talk about medicine. I have talked to them about how alcohol is used as a mechanism for people to cope, but I don't call it by that. I call it for what it is, alcohol, beer. You know, as they've gotten a little bit older, especially my son, I talk about the differences, hard liquor and stuff like that. But I think it's important to take a step back, and at least the way that I approach it and the way that I was indoctrinated into what alcohol is, takes me back to my seventh grade class, middle school. At least where I grew up, seventh and eighth grade was middle school. I know for some places it's sixth, seventh, and eighth. But we had a class where it was with PE, but it was a health class, and you went through a curriculum where you would talk about alcohol, drugs, tobacco, and then also about, you know, puberty and things of that nature. You got a little bit more into it. But for me, I remember in middle school, one of the assignments was teaching and researching, first and foremost, about these different things. And I picked alcohol. And I actually learned, and I had to present from what I learned about the effects of alcohol on the body. And I think that really had an impact on my life, because I started to learn about things like cirrhosis of the liver. I started to learn about alcoholism. I started to learn about socially drinking, and how socially drinking can also lead to certain things later on, excessive drinking. Now, this doesn't mean that everybody who drinks alcohol is going to binge drink or is going to use it as a coping mechanism, but these are the things that can lead to that. And so even though I had some religious learning about alcohol when I was younger, more so, hey, alcohol is haram, it's not allowed, you shouldn't drink it and all that stuff, I didn't really connect the two as far as, well, these are the reasons that alcohol is, in fact, especially from an Islamic perspective, is not allowed. It wasn't until later on that I connected the two, but what I took away ultimately was alcohol was just something I was not interested in, even though I hadn't tried it, but it was enough that I had learned about the effects of it, and same thing with tobacco, which I'll, you know, get into in another episode. But it was because I learned about the effects that it had on the body that made me think, you know what, I think there's other things I could find if I really wanted to destroy my body. But that was just the mentality that I had. And then, of course, there was the religious side of it. So with the way that I was taught on the religion side, that it's haram, it's not allowed, I don't necessarily want to take that approach with my kids. Because, look, kids are smart. They're smarter than they were a generation ago. But what I try to do is, when I'm talking about these things, especially when I know that they're a little bit older, for example, my son is 10 years old, I go into, well, in Islam, X, Y, and Z, alcohol is not allowed. But let's go into why it's not allowed. Or like wine. My son would say, well, doesn't wine have benefits? Yes, wine does have benefits, but then you have to weigh it with the pros and the cons of it. So from a religious side, even though I grew up with this is not allowed, this is haram, and that's the end of it, I try to go more into the reasoning and tying it in with what I learned, for example, in seventh grade. I try to combine the two because they really do go hand in hand. I do let my kids know, even when I'm talking about this or a lot of any of the other topics, that really at the end of the day, it is a person's decision. So whether you're Muslim, non-Muslim, you know, whether you're in college or you're older, at the end of the day, my view has always been that it's your decision on what you want to do. It's between you and God at the end of the day. And I do believe that we are going to be asked about what we did and what we didn't do in this life. And so we should be able to answer that, because it is important. But with kids, I find moments in time where I can't talk about these things. For example, the Simpsons and Duff beer. Or in situations where we're at a grocery store. Look, every grocery store has a wine, alcohol area, and we do bypass it. Hey, Dad, why don't we ever shop over here? You know, why don't we ever get this? Well, what's in front of you is wine and alcohol, and we, as Muslims, we don't drink it. Okay? That's when kids are much younger, and you can't really go into the ins and outs of the effects on the body. So if they're to ask me, I take that approach. It's alcohol. we as Muslims don't drink it, often kids are intuitive, well, why not? You know, why don't we drink it? And then it opens up the conversation for more. So a lot of these things is also seeing what curiosity your kids have. And kids are very curious. We as human beings are curious beings. So I will say or present things, but also see where they are at. Do they want to know more? Do they want to have a more in-depth conversation? And a lot of this also has to do with asking questions and engaging them so that they ask questions. But I also try to approach it from the perspective that I too was your age, or I too, for example, my son who will be eventually going to middle school and high school and inshallah college, and same thing with my girls, I tell them about my experiences. I don't overexpose what my experiences are until, you know, a certain point in time I feel like I need to go into more depth, but I would tell them, for example, how did I handle it in middle school? How did I handle it in high school or in college? Because I think those things are important because they are going to be in those situations. I don't hide from my kids, for example, that I would go out when I was in college and I would be around people who would be drinking. And for some of you who are thinking, well, brother, maybe you shouldn't have done that since you're a practicing Muslim. And what I will say to that is I have my own journey, and my journey has taken me to where I am today. But I was exposed to these things. I didn't necessarily shy away from them. I eventually got to a point that I limited those interactions. But when I was a first year at UVA, I went to the frat parties. I went to the apartment parties. I went to those gatherings. And there was alcohol. There was people drinking. Did it make me feel uncomfortable at times? Yeah, look, I wasn't drinking. I was around people who were. But when people would offer me a drink or say, hey, why aren't you drinking, or whatever the case was, I would just tell them, look, I don't drink. It's both religious and personal reasons. But I think it's important that when we are having these conversations, that eventually we get into those things. How, Dad, how did you deal with alcohol? How did you deal with, being out if you were at places? Now, another part of it is this allowing your kids to think, hey, it's okay to go to parties where there is drinking, or is it okay to be in environments where these things are there? Look, at the end of the day, I think we can't be naive to think that these things are not going to be available for them, and we're not going to be able to police our kids. And we shouldn't have to police our kids. And I think this is why it's important to have these conversations early on, so that as time progresses, it goes back into that relationship building. You know, is there enough trust in there that we can have these conversations? Or, God forbid, let's say your kids are in a situation where they did drink, and they are in a situation where they need help. Wouldn't you prefer that they reach out to you first and see what you can do to help them, rather than being in a situation where they're like, well, I'm going to get in trouble with mom and dad, and so I'm not going to contact them? A lot of these conversations goes into how do you approach when you are in situations where, for example, topic at hand, where alcohol is present. For younger children, as I mentioned, the timing, again, really depends on them. You know, for example, the Simpsons episode, my two daughters right now, they're 7 and 5. They do watch the Simpsons with my son. They're also around my son, who right now is in 5th grade, but he is around other kids who will be having these conversations. And so when they are out playing outside, these things do come up, believe it or not. And I've been there. I'm around. I'm maybe washing my car. I'm not necessarily eavesdropping on them, but I'm being a proactive parent. I'm trying to see what conversations are they having. And trying to be engaged with the kids and their friends, and I think it gives you more exposure. But again, really depends on where your kids are at. For younger kids, I think keeping it black and white is important in the beginning. For example, look, alcohol in Islam is not allowed, or we should not drink alcohol. As their minds develop, the conversations will then develop further into, well, what are some reasons? What are the health benefits? With my son and my daughters, it's important to get them to critically think. So in other words, even though in the beginning I may say it's black and white, these are the rules, as they're getting older, they realize there's actually a lot of gray for a lot of things and situations. And so at that point, it's important for them to engage in conversations where we are asking them questions. So for example, my son, who's a little bit older, I tell him, alcohol has X, Y, and Z impact on the body. We talk about the actual health sides of it. And I would ask him, why do you think that, for example, in the Quran, it says that alcohol is not allowed during prayer, or intoxicants, to be more specific? And I get him to answer the question. I don't necessarily give him the answer. Well, Dad, if we're praying and we can't make sense of our prayer, then we muddle and confuse the surahs, and it's not what the Word of God is, for example. Or maybe people who are not necessarily on the either faith-based, Islam, or on the spectrum, wherever you may be in life. Let's take a universal one, drinking while driving. Well, why is it that drinking while driving is not allowed? Why is it that DUIs, driving under the influence, has a higher penalty than something else? Your license can be taken away. You can go to jail. Asking them the questions. Well, if you're driving and you're drunk, you can get into an accident. You can kill somebody. All right. So I think the conversations can get introduced by things that are around you, and there are a lot that can at least introduce the topic. And then it's reintroducing, re-having those conversations, especially as the kids are getting older. They're going to be in situations around friends where these things are going to be present, or conversations are going to be had. And I think it's important at the end of the day to ultimately let them know that the choice is going to be theirs. Look, we can try to protect them until we're blue in the face, but they are going to be in situations and they are going to have the choice. Just like religion is a choice, deen is a choice. These things are going to become a choice. So the choice is going to be theirs, but are they going to have enough tools to be able to assess, does it make sense for them to do it or not? For kids that are a little bit older, I think it's also important to talk about peer pressure and alcohol. You know, we may not think that our kids are going to be in positions, or that it might be much later on in life that they're going to be exposed to having the opportunity to drink. But chances are that they may be when they're younger. Middle school and high school, a lot of these things start, you know, when kids are going out to play, or they're going over to somebody's house, alcohol may be there. You know, you can't assume that the alcohol is locked up or put away. And kids, look, when they want something, they're going to find ways to get it. You know, so sometime I will, when I'm talking with my son, I'll say, hey, look, what if you're at a gathering, or you're at a place where there's a girl that you like, and, you know, that girl is drinking alcohol, for example, and she approaches you and says, hey, why aren't you drinking? The pressure is going to be there, where you're going to think, well, I don't want her to think less of me, or, you know, to think that I'm not, you know, part of the in crowd. But it's more of a question, what do you do in that case? Now, truth of the matter is, he may tell me one thing and do completely something opposite of it. I won't know, but at least it's putting them, giving them the scenarios where they are in those situations. Okay, and again, that comes back to, well, Dad, were you ever in this situation? Actually, yes, I was. There's plenty of times with us. Well, what did you do as a result of it? And these conversations naturally will happen because there is that relationship that has engaged. You know, I'm not there all 99% of the time talking about alcohol, drugs, tobacco, sex, all that stuff. It's more of having these conversations where I am talking about school, about life. I'm out there playing with them. I'm out, you know, shopping with them. I'm watching TV, a movie. All of those other opportunities presents us times where we can do these things. And as I had mentioned before, for a lot of these conversations, including alcohol, You want it to be where it's undivided time. You don't want it to be where you are multitasking, where you are trying to do this. You got to find those opportunities that are sometimes natural, organic, and sometimes you have to create those opportunities. But I will say this. As parents, we can't go blindly thinking that we can't protect them. We can and we must know who their friends are. Know their lives, what's going on. Even in times where they are preteens or teens, where they are hanging out more with their friends, hanging out more outside. We have to be engaged in their lives. One of the things that I read was it's important for us to take our kids with their friends to places. You know, be in the car with them. And one thing that I had listened to, which I thought was pretty creative, was this lady said she'll have the volume up in the back, changing the volume in the front and the back. So the front doesn't really have the volume up, but it makes it seem like it is. So the kids have to talk a little bit louder. And look, I know some of you are like, well, that's kind of sneaky. Yes, it might be, but again, we have to find ways to protect our kids, but the only way we can protect them is to know what is going on. And eventually when there is that relationship, where there is that trust that comes up, they're going to naturally want to talk to you about these things. You know? So sometimes in regard to alcohol, for example, at nighttime before the kids go to sleep, I make an attempt to go into their rooms and hang out with them for a little bit of time, you know, phones away, and try to have these conversations. Hey, you know, for example, in that movie we were watching or in the show that we were watching, these things came up. Or, you know, when we are talking from a religious standpoint, these conversations may come up in podcasts, may come up maybe from a surah that you have read. It's important to be able to connect the dots for a lot of these things. It's also, again, shared experiences. So I often, when we are talking about school or college, I will take those opportunities to be able to tell them what my experience was. And part of that experience was, for example, again, things related to alcohol. But in a lot of these things, I think what it ultimately comes down to is being able to introduce it to them, which really does come down to connecting it into the day-to-day lives. For those of us in the West, I think those opportunities are there. Middle school and high school does present a lot of those things. As well, it's also about the logic side of it, the critically thinking side of it. Presenting the facts, for example, in the case of alcohol, hey, let's kind of talk about the health aspects of it, or what are things that can happen? You know, what does it mean to socially drink? What are the reasons that some people drink? And more so asking them, and not necessarily saying that's right or wrong, but also being able to weave in then your own thoughts and opinions and facts so that there is that engaged conversation. You know, what can happen if you overdrink? You know, I know some of these things are extreme measures, but there is domestic abuse that relates from alcohol. There is sexual abuse and rape that relates to alcohol. And I've already had conversations with my son, especially my son. And eventually I will with my daughters, make good choices, that they have enough tools in their tool belt. But it is about introducing it also from a male and female perspective. And my wife is going to get involved also with the girls, because I am not necessarily going to know that female perspective. And that's where these things, it's a both parents type situation. I understand some people, both parents may not be together, or it may be a situation where one parent is more involved than the other one, but I think it is integral and important to get the other parent involved as well, because for some things I may not necessarily know, and I won't know the female perspective of it. So again, these conversations comes with the relationship building, trust, but finding ways to introduce them through things that you've seen, things that you are exposed to through movies, shows, scripture reading from a faith standpoint. And I think I will leave off with this. A lot of the things that I tell my kids from an Islamic perspective, for things that are allowed or not allowed, there is a reason and logic. Sometimes we as human beings, we won't know the reason or logic, and we have to have that faith where we trust in God. But God is not going to tell us something that's not beneficial for us. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to ingrain in them, is that the faith and trust aspect of it, but also letting them know there are reasons behind why, for example, something like alcohol, we're not allowed to do it. It is not prescribed for us. It is not allowed for us. And of course, the question comes up, well, aren't we going to be given wine or something in heaven? And the answer is yes, but it's going to be a very different wine than what we have here. There is not the hangovers, the headaches, the blacking out, things like that. Or the question of, well, can't we drink in a responsible manner? Look, at the end of the day, a lot of people do. But as Muslims, we are told that we're not allowed to drink. And these are the reasons. But again, it becomes a choice at the end of the day. And may God protect all of our kids and protect us from these things and allow them to be able to make good choices.
Talk next time. As always, I appreciate you and thank you for listening to Unlawyerly. My name is Ramin Mohammed. You can catch me on Instagram at Unlawyerly with Ramin, unlawyerly.com on our website. Of course, please feel free to subscribe to our YouTube. That's it for today. My name is Ramin again, and it's been Unlawyerly. Thank you.